Happy Friday here on 104.5 The Zone. What's going on? Buck Rising here with you until 1 o'clock. Lucas is here as well. We are going to have a great time on a Full Send Friday. I feel like the show's already started because I was in here. I'm going to be on these airwaves for 5 hours today, Lucas. What are we doing? Who made this decision? Listen, I love J. Martin Ramon. I love Blaine and Mickey. I love 3HL. I love all my teammates around here. But dear God.
Yeah, you got Blaine and Mickey at 120.
Yeah.
So welcome to my world.
What do you mean, welcome to your world?
I'm on these airwaves at five hours every day.
Okay, but you are, and listen, I'm not diminishing what you do because there is no us without you, okay? You obviously get this thing off the ground, and it's not to stroke your ego. It's just how this thing physically goes. But what I'm saying, is, you know, there's only so many things that I have to say, Lucas.
Yeah, that's a good point. I can always hide behind the control room here and make things happen.
Yeah, you know, like I've got prime time Sunday to Thursday night. I've got 3HL every Monday. I've got Blaine and Mickey every Friday, and I've got 3 hours of radio Monday through Friday in between. Like,
which is why we're talking about Dara's parents today.
Well, that's not why. Also, I would like some suggestions. Maybe you know, I would like to crowdsource some things because I am often not. For as much as I have to spend time talking and being creative, I run out of a certain amount of creativity. So if there's a blind spot, because my girlfriend's parents are coming into town, we'll talk about that. By the way, let's tell you what's on the show first before we get into all things self-involved. Don't want to slack off here on a Friday. But we have Nick Saban. We don't have Nick Saban. We have audio from Nick Saban. Because the college football playoff expansion conversation that happened, I think, right before the draft, it kind of got lost. At least for us. I don't know how the other shows handle it. I felt like I lost track of it in the middle of all things draft. And I was reading something on The Athletic today that kind of brought this back to my attention with some of the college football state of the program. Like David Ubbin just did one on the University of Tennessee, and Lucas tells me, by the way, that athletic director for Tennessee, Danny White, has been popping off about some dumb things. So I'm not sure what that is, but Lucas will tell us later on in the show. The Preds may be able to get into the postseason tonight without even playing. We'll talk about that at some point over the next 3 hours. And so anyway, Saban was talking about college football playoff expansion, and I wanted to spend some time on that today because I think it's been, I mean, at least for us, under-discussed. Like, I don't know, it's kind of like the Super League thing in European soccer, where it's a massive story across sports, but I feel like some people don't know how to talk about it. Is that a fair comparison, Lucas, or am I misjudging that?
Yeah, I suppose that's fair. I mean, everybody has their opinion on it.
Yeah. So maybe we just didn't have the opportunity, or we didn't give ourselves the opportunity to have an opinion about it. So we'll have an opinion about that on that later, and you'll hear from Nick Saban on the matter momentarily. This Logan Paul versus Floyd Mayweather thing is out of control. I want to yell about that at some point over the course of the show. And we have very good guests today. New Titans defensive back, if you want to call him a nickelback, you want to call him a safety, if you want to call him what Lewis Riddick calls him, a Jedi in the slot, which I thought was a fantastic way to describe New Titans defensive back Elijah Molden. He'll be on in the next hour. And, of course, Coach Dave McGinnis of Titans Radio for our weekly Friday visit. Many things to discuss with the great one, Coach Mack. Bangers only on 104.5 The Zone. So we'll get to all of those things. But we did put out a poll that my girlfriend's parents are coming into town this weekend. In fact, I think they land about 5. So it's the first time that they've been to visit. Now, I've obviously met them. We've spent time together. They're lovely people. I'm very much looking forward to spending the weekend with her family. It's a great time anytime we get the chance to spend time around each other. But I want to take them places, one, where it's reasonable to take them places, right? Because we've all been double vaccinated at this point. So I have a little less hesitation than I might otherwise have. And I know, I mean, I had mine on Monday, so there's about a two-week period before you can basically fully reemerge, or at least that's what we're told at this point, before you can fully reemerge amongst society. So I want to be mindful of that. But also, you know, I have a certain sect of places that I like to go, but maybe I'm not thinking outside the box enough. So we put it on a poll. Where should I take my girlfriend's parents this weekend when they're in town? Because I don't want Lower Broadway, no thanks. Like, I thought about it the other weekend, and we didn't talk really about what happened at Kid Rock's over the weekend. That got lost in the shuffle. But for reasons like what happened at Kid Rock's on Saturday night, where there's some dude slinging a colostomy bag around the dance floor, I'm not necessarily crazed about the idea of going to Lower Broadway right now. And I thought about it last Saturday, but I hadn't had my second shot yet. I'm like, eh, maybe I'll wait a minute. And then sure enough, the next day, some dude slinging a literal bag of poop around Kid Rock. So I'm going to try and avoid places like that.
Got to be on your toes at Kid Rock.
I mean, I'm saying head on a swivel, you know? Like, what a ridiculous story that is. I can't believe we didn't talk about that on Monday. But anyway, so I want to have some good ideas for places that I should take my girlfriend's parents while they're in town. So you can weigh in on the poll. At Buck Rising is where you vote on the polls. But also, I came in here very upset today. V-Love writes in, Cheekwood, if it's nice out. I'm actually a member at Cheekwood, so that is a great idea. We had discussed Cheekwood, but I'm not sure what everybody's allergy situation is, because Cheekwood can be a particular kind of hell if you've got allergies, like I do. But anyway, Cheekwood, lovely this time of year. So I came in very, very upset today. And let me make this clear before we talk about, like, gym etiquette. I am not somebody who is in the kind of physical condition to be criticizing other people at the gym. All right, that's not what I'm about to do. And I don't want to have, like, some kind of meathead, knuckle-dragging caveman conversation about, oh, I went to lift this morning, and this is how I feel about all these other, you know, scrawny slaps in the gym. Like, I don't want it to sound like that kind of conversation, because it's not. But I like to go to the gym in the morning because it helps me wake up. And also, you know, I could use a couple extra laps on the treadmill. So I go in this morning, and I went in a little before 6. There were two things that really, really bothered me today. One, I go in for, because with my gym membership, and I'm not going to, you know, no free shout outs. And if the gym that I work out at would like to, you know, contribute to 104.5 The Zone's success, then we would be more than happy to shout them out. But at this point, no thank you. So I go in, and a part of my gym membership is you get like a certain amount of like group classes. Now, obviously, group classes not ideal during a global pandemic, but the space is spaced out enough to where I would be comfortable going to a group class setting. And I like to go for the cycling classes because it's low impact. And, you know, I like to run, but it's hell on my knees. And the cycling is good. It's good energy. You sweat. You wake up. You feel invigorated after you're done with one of these classes. But this is the reason why I'm thinking about getting a Peloton. Because there were 3 people in my cycling class this morning. And the instructor, listen, they have so much energy, whether it's real or manufactured, during these cycling classes. And if you've ever taken one, you know what I'm talking about. If you've ever been on a Peloton, you know what I'm talking about. And by the way, if you want to weigh in on the conversation this morning, 615-737-1045. But the instructor for a class of 3 is getting us hyped. You know, and I'm okay with, she comes in and she says, good morning. And then when all of us don't respond in like with the same kind of energy, it's one of those situations where she said, I said, good morning. And we're just like, good morning.
Respond with a grunt.
Yeah, just kind of like, oh, really? So, okay, fine. If that's what you need to get through your day, I will play that game. That I'm not mad at you about. But when they pick out the playlists that you cycle to, right? Please don't make eye contact with me and sing. Don't sing along. Oh my God, Lucas, I was so uncomfortable because I'm gasping for air on one of these bikes and I'm just miserable. And then all of a sudden I look up and she's singing, "You Don't Know You're Beautiful." And I'm just like, oh God, please stop. Don't do this. There's only 3 of us in here. Please don't sing to me in the middle of the cycling class. And I want to know if anybody else has these problems. Because there's another thing that stood out to me today that very, very much upset me. And this, you know, this was not something that upset me. Like, it's just an awkward interaction. And I want to say this because I'm appreciative of the instructors. And it's a hard job because, like, I'm a professional entertainer. I could not entertain, like, I could not do that.
I'm picturing you in a cycling room with a bunch of, like, 75-year-old women. Come on, ladies.
I mean.
Let's see that energy.
Me and Dolores. Yeah, basically, you know. Because it's only me and a bunch of 75-year-old women.
Are you all right, Buck? Shut up, Dolores.
At 5:30 in the morning. So for me, you know, I enjoy it. One, because there's not many people in there at the time of morning that I'm in there. But also, like, don't make eye contact and sing to me, okay? I'll tell you what my other complaint from the gym was this morning here in just a second. But, of course, if you would like to weigh in, you may. 615-737-1045. Josh is in Franklin. Is a recommendation for me. What's up, Josh? Oh, no, Josh.
Hello?
Hello, Josh.
Hello?
Oh, can Josh not hear me? Is this a me problem? Is it a you problem?
Here.
Okay, Josh, go ahead. Talk to me. Apparently, Josh is not there. Okay, try again, Josh. I don't know if at this point, are we not developed enough as sports talk radio
everything
listeners?
Is good on my end. I don't know what's going on.
Is this
on
a
with
you
Josh.
Problem?
This is not a me problem.
Okay. So, Josh, you know, maybe better luck next time. But you can call us back if you want. We are about second chances. We are a forgiving show. I think that's how I would describe Lucas and myself. We're forgiving. 615-737-1045. But the second complaint that Seth Clark writes in on Twitch, that sounds terrible. I feel weird when my virtual instructor is talking to me. Yeah, but like with the virtual instructors, you don't have to pay attention to them. Like if you need them as motivation, they're there. But if you don't, you can go about your business. Like I know Ramon like makes his own, Ramon Foster from J. Martin Ramon, he makes his own playlist and he kind of paces himself to the playlist. And I think that's a good way to go about things. The virtual instructors are fine. But if you're there with somebody in person and it's a class of three, like there's no way for you to avoid that interaction. And then you're just made to be like hugely uncomfortable. And when you're getting, you know, a pep talk on the way out the door or whatever, you're just like, yeah, thanks, but no thanks. Again, it's a difficult job. I would not have the energy to do that job. I am just there to make sure that I can fit my pants. Okay. I just want for my waist size to maintain, given what the pandemic has done to the vast majority of us at this point. But for me, it is incredibly uncomfortable when you have a situation like that. And I have a second situation like that we will address. We will also take your calls because I see Scott waiting patiently. If you want to call in, 615-737-1045. We'll also let you hear from Nick Saban and give our thoughts on the potential for college football playoff expansion and why Alabama's head coach, I think, is wrong. All that and more coming up next. I'm Buck Rising. This is 104.5 The Zone. Man, this week felt like it went really fast. I don't know why. I mean, we've had good shows, so I don't want to discredit us for making us feel like our own week went fast. Buck Rising here with you until 1 o'clock. But I feel like the last 2 weeks, I've looked up and it's just been over. I don't know why I feel like I'm losing track of time. Like this morning, Jonathan Schaefer, he asked me yesterday before we were doing the show if I'd come in and hang out with J. Martin Ramon for a couple of minutes. And I had to leave Schaefer's text unopened and respond to them in the 104.5 The Zone TV chat to say, hey, Schaefer, I saw it. I'll be there. But if I open your text, I'll lose the notification and I'll forget. Do you have that problem?
Yes, I do. That's a smart move, actually.
I mean, it's a
lot. I do that sometimes. Like, I purposely do not open a text because I want that notification to stick around because I know I'll just forget.
Yeah, but you're also a sociopath because you, like, don't set your alarm for the next day until the night of.
I started doing that.
What, scheduling your alarms?
Like this week, yeah.
Yeah, yep. Welcome to real life. Are
I know,
you insane?
I know. I got burned by it. I guess it was early this week that my delirious self said it like an hour later, and I still got here on time, but I had to scramble.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm going to be honest and I just didn't even know how to do that.
The behavior of an insane person. Anyway, we were talking about my bad experience at the gym this morning. We're also going to talk about college football playoff expansion. You'll hear from Nick Saban here in just a second because, of course, he is of the dissenting opinion at this point of the talks of expansion that emerged a couple of weeks ago. But first, we go to Scott, who is in Franklin. He wants to weigh in on 104.5 The Zone. What's up, Scott?
Hey, man, can you hear me?
I sure can.
All right. Thanks, man. I love you guys' show. I listen to it every morning, and I wish you the best of luck.
Appreciate it.
My girlfriend got us a Peloton about the beginning of the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
All I can say is look at Jess's videos,
okay.
Her videos.
Okay.
Just a heads up. That's all I got to say, man. And I love your show.
Oh, dear God. Scott, are you walking in? Like, I'm not going to do this. I'm concerned now, Scott. You have me walking into like an HR unfriendly situation. I don't know what's happening here.
I don't want to get you in trouble, man. But Jess is a recommendation.
Okay. Good talk. Hey, Scott. I don't know if that was just hugely lecherous. What he was saying, because like I know that there can be some conflict in relationships, because you know, like in the apartment building, I used to live in an apartment in the Gulch before I bought my house in downtown, and my building in the Gulch had 4 Peloton bikes. So like I can't remember the name of, but you have a preferred instructor if you're going to do the classes, and whether it's just because you like their personality or you know whatever other reasons you have for selecting the particular instructor. As Scott, it seems, may have, it can cause some friction.
Yeah, I hope there hasn't been a rift between Scott and his girlfriend.
That's what I'm
because
saying.
Of the Peloton.
Because I think, like, Dara asked me one time, do you have a favorite Peloton instructor? I'm like, yeah.
Who is she?
Yeah. She sounds hideous. So, yeah, you know, let's try to keep it under control, Scott. Like, I don't want anything to happen. I don't want you to, like, sound like a creep in front of the entire Nashville.
Sounds like Jess has whipped Scott into shape.
Dear God. Anyway, 615-737-1045. Hashtag transition. College football playoff expansion. Do I save my other bad experience this morning, or do we get it off the table now?
Yeah, let's put it on the table.
Okay. So, also in my gym is a sauna, an infrared sauna. Now, again, sauna is hugely not a part of the last 14 months during the pandemic, but now because of the restrictions that have been lifted, the fact that there is a capacity of one person at a time in the sauna, the fact that they wipe the entire sauna down after each use, like I'm comfortable using the sauna. So I go in today to kind of decompress from the workout that I've just had, and I am getting ready to exit the sauna. And as I am exiting the sauna, I see the next person who is waiting in line to enter the sauna as they're wiping it down. And I see that this person has no shoes on. And I am immediately grossed out, not just because people's feet are disgusting to me. That's why I get pedicures, because feet need to be taken care of. And if you don't take care of your feet, like, I think less of you as a person. It's important to take care of your feet. But I just think the whole idea that somebody would walk shoeless, even if there are no other occupants, to walk shoeless into a sauna, to me seems disgusting. Is that overkill? I just, something about that really, really, like, I don't want to use the sauna anymore because I know some shoe, even though I know they wipe it down afterwards, and that COVID is not contracted, you know, it, or very, very rarely, it seems, based on what the CDC is now telling us, from like surfaces, that the percentage chance that you get COVID from potentially contaminated surfaces is way, way, way lower than initially expected, or that we had been kind of working through the initial phases of this thing, even as I understand that. And I know I'm not going to get COVID from a dude's feet, but like, I don't want to know that some dude has been shoeless or sockless, barefoot in the sauna that I like to use.
I mean, you just wear your shoes. You'll be fine.
I do wear my shoes. And I'm fully clothed in the sauna. Like, I'm not walking in there like, you know, some 1970s, you know, old man sweat lodge. Like, I'm not just walking in there in a towel and having a meeting and smoking a cigar, you know, like the scene in the Blues Brothers. This is not how I'm operating. Like, I'll go in there in my workout gear. Like, I'll towel off a little bit so I don't reek. But just DeMarie on Facebook Live says, I wear flip-flops in the sauna. I think that's perfectly acceptable etiquette. Now, largely, I don't want to see your feet. And also, I have a problem with Jonathan Schaefer of J. Martin Ramon, because he walks around here in, like, open-toed shoes. And I don't know if I'm like calling him out for our bosses, that maybe there's some kind of like rule that you, I don't know what the corporate rules are on things like this. I'm still acclimating myself to a corporate environment. But like, for there to be open-toed shoes in the workplace is disgusting to me. Get the hell out of here with your Tevas or whatever they're called.
Listen to you.
These Chaco sandals. I don't want to see your feet.
Then don't look down.
It's the first thing I look at.
Oh, that's on you, brother.
I mean, I don't know what to do about that. Must hate Ben Jones's pregame, says D. Good. I do if you're on turf, because ask Alex Smith. You can catch all kinds of nasty stuff from football turf if it's not cleaned properly. So if Ben Jones ends up with a case of ringworm because he likes to walk the field barefoot pregame, that's up to him. But it is not a risk that I am personally willing to run. 615-737-1045. All right, let's talk sports, dummy. I feel like I've gotten off the rails so far on this Friday. What we missed over the course of the draft coverage, because, of course, you know, the draft is the biggest, baddest thing basically throughout the entire course of spring in sports. I know, you know, there would probably be a few Preds fans that would yell at me about that, but we'll spend some time on your hockey team coming up next. We have a Panzeca Preds update, even on a night they don't even play. But they could get in the postseason. So we'll tell you about that, or Lucas will tell you more about that later on. But we missed this headline, or we didn't miss it, but we didn't talk about it. This headline that was put out by the College Football Playoff Management Committee that they are considering, this was about 2 weeks ago, considering a potential expansion of the field of four. Now, this is something that's been talked about at great length right when the playoff was decided on. Once we moved from the BCS to the College Football Playoff, it was immediately the conversation I felt after we decided that there would be four teams. How long do we wait before there's eight teams? And so now what the management committee of the College Football Playoff is saying in their statement is they're considering, quote, dozens of possibilities for future expansion. A new playoff field, according to Heather Dinich, who did the reporting on this for ESPN, a new playoff field could reportedly have anywhere from 6 to 16 teams. And my understanding, and the thing that I think we've been told our entire lives, as when you talk about like the differences between sports, like why people like pro football more than college football, or why people like college football more than pro football, is one, you're entirely more invested in your favorite college football team, given how much time you probably spent at that university, if it's your alma mater, or how you grew up going to games with your family, or if you're somewhere like, there's a much more tribal feel, certainly the SEC, it's tribal. There's a much more tribal feel to it than there might be, and that there is, I think, outside of like places like Buffalo and Green Bay and Chicago, franchises that have been around for 100 years. There's a much deeper attachment with college football teams. But also, the argument that's made for people who favor college over pro is that the regular season matters more. And that also, the playoff is good as it's currently constructed with four teams, because you don't want to further diminish the rest of bowl season for all of the other college football teams that aren't going to make it into the Final Four. So this is something that Nick Saban came out initially when they floated the idea of the College Football Playoff. He said, you guys can do this if you want, and we'll do it how you want to do it, but just know that I think that there are these risks associated with it. So now they have been doing this over the course of the College Football Playoff. It's clearly not hindered Nick Saban at all, because Alabama's always in it. And I bring this up this morning, 2 weeks after the fact, because I was reading in The Athletic this morning. They're doing state of the programs. David Ubbin has a really good one up on Tennessee right now. It posted right as soon as we got off the air yesterday. I had a chance to read it. You should go check it out if you're a Vols fan. But also, I was reading Ohio State's this morning, because they're sending me in the app the profiles of the most famous teams, the teams that are most likely to be college football playoff competitors. And so this kind of triggered something in me, and I'll tell you what that is right after we hear from Nick Saban on Paul Feinbaum's show. This was on April 27th, about why Nick Saban, one, didn't like the college football playoff to begin with, but also, two, is against further expansion.
Or that the more playoffs we have, the less significant bowl games are going to be. So it's really not for me, and I don't think I'm even capable of judging how significant the positive self-gratification so many players get, so many programs get, so many coaches get for being able to go to a bowl game. And now everything has shifted to the four teams in the playoffs, and the bowls seem to be pretty insignificant. So I think if we expand the playoffs, you're going to see a continuation of that trend where the bowl games become less and less significant. And maybe these two things can't coexist. But if they're going to coexist, maybe we should try to, you know, leave them pretty much the same. But I know there's a lot of interest in the playoff. But the other thing that I would be concerned about is, you know, how many games should we really play? I mean, the SEC championship game, to me, if you look at all the years we played in, most of those games were playoff games. We were playing somebody in the top five and had an impact on who got into playoffs, who got in the championship game. So you're going to eliminate that so you can have more playoff games, or we're going to play less games in a regular season so we can have more playoff games. I think there's only so many games in these guys. They're student-athletes. They're not just football players. So I think some of those things have to be taken into consideration as well.
Alabama head coach Nick Saban on why he is skeptical, we'll call it. I don't think that was an outright like stance against it. Like, I think Saban was more passionate when they initially floated the idea of moving from the BCS to the college football playoff. And now that they're in the college football playoff and Saban, you know, clearly has great success in it, that it's not that deep to him. But to talk about further expansion, one, you know, I understand what Nick's saying about student athletes and they're not just football players, but I mean, come on. All right. At the highest levels at places like Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, Georgia, LSU, I mean, how many of those students are going in there planning on being student athletes and not just focusing on getting a master's in football?
Didn't come there to play school.
Yeah, well, listen, Cardale Jones, like there are plenty, and those of them who take advantage of the education that they're getting on the scholarship, and those of them who, you know, who are walk-ons and are passionate about football, but also value the institution that they're going to, like, I don't know, I don't want to dismiss that at all. But I also, you know, when I hear Saban say that, it's, to me, it's a little harder to take him seriously on that when I understand just how many of them and their schedule. It's their schedules that don't necessarily allow them to be full student athletes. It's their schedules that demand they be more athlete than student based on what the schedule of a college athlete is. And yet, I mean, the games are an entirely different matter. It's something that the NFL has had billions of dollars negotiating over because it's physically not good for you to play more football games. But When I hear Saban say this, I don't think he's wrong by any stretch of the imagination. Where I think we are in this weird like purgatory with is, I don't think that I'm good with getting rid of the bowl, the rest of the bowls altogether. Like, just give me the playoff games. He's saying if these things, maybe these things can't coexist. Yeah, I'm totally good with them not coexisting. Like, I understand that there are less opportunities for schools like MTSU to go to a bowl game. That means a great deal to MTSU, but it's not generating a television audience. It's more football, so people are going to watch more football no matter when football's on. But to me, am I going to seek that game out unless I'm the small segment of the fan base that is hugely passionate about? And I don't want to dismiss, like, I'm not dismissing MTSU. I'm just using them as a local example because I know that they went to what bowl did they go to in Hawaii a couple of years ago?
The Hawaii Bowl.
Okay, that one. Against Western Kentucky. I think it ended up being like a pretty fun game, honestly. And like, bowl games are fun. It's kind of like Maction, you know, they're always on, so you'll always have them on in the background, like March Madness. You know,
yeah, I've never, like, the argument for less bowl games I've always thought was so dumb. Because for me, you know, people are like, we don't need more bowl games. We don't need the Cheez-It Bowl. I'm like, okay, then don't watch it. I want more bowl games. Give me all the bowl games.
Well, like, there's going to be an audience for it, but I guess what I'm saying is, Nick, if you're making me pick between an expanded college football playoff field and the Hawaii Bowl, yeah, send the Hawaii Bowl into the sun. I don't care. And the ratings, honestly, bear out that the large majority of the audience doesn't care. Like, the college football playoff is not doing numbers. It's largely regional. And that's because of who's in it every year. Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State. I know Washington was in it the first year, but largely it's been a rotation between Oklahoma, Notre Dame. Georgia hasn't been in one yet. But Georgia's one of the...
No, Georgia was in the playoff.
Georgia was in the playoff?
Yeah, when they beat Oklahoma in the Rose Bowl and Baker Mayfield in that overtime game and then lost to a freshman Tua and DeVonta Smith.
That's right, because Jalen Hurts left that game. Tua came in. Okay.
Halftime, yep.
Got it. So, so it's the same teams, and they're all outside of Ohio State. It was a massive audience, a national following, Notre Dame the same. Like, these are regional games at this point. This is the SEC championship game plus, for the most part. And then Clemson, also in the Southeast region. So you're not garnering these huge television numbers. So to expand the playoff, I think is for the health of the playoff. You just have to simply get more teams involved with this thing for the sake of the... And I know college football fans don't care about fringe sports fans, but you should.
Mikey Dreamer on Twitch says, every other level of football has a playoff system that has more than four teams. For me, it's just about removing debate. Like every other format, you do this and you get in. If you don't do it, you don't get in. For me, for college football, just remove the debate. Win your conference to get in. Don't have these discussions of, they're in the SEC West, they didn't win their division or the SEC title game, but they're one of the four best teams. It just creates a...
Take it out of the committee's hands is what you're saying.
Yeah. Why is there debate?
What do you mean? Because they can make endless hours of television. We talk about it.
We can watch a three-hour special on the playoff where they wait 2.5 hours to tell us who's in the playoff.
Because you can stretch the content. I mean, we're in the business of content. There's only so much content to go around, right?
My solution was always the five Power Five champions, three at-large bids for a group of five teams. Boom. Take away. The only debate there is which three at-large bids do you give to the group of five? Which last year you're thinking of Coastal Carolina, Cincinnati, teams that felt that feel they will never have any chance to make a 14 playoff.
Yeah.
And they won't. Remove the debate.
615-737-1045 is the number that you dial. If you would like to chime in, 615-737-1045. Speaking of things that are inconvenient, Will Bowling has just walked into the studio. Good morning, Will. Hello to you. We'll talk. No,
you
no,
should
no.
be so lucky.
Leave your microphone off. Your We're going to break. I'm Buck Rising. This is 104.5 The Zone. Full Send Friday here on 104.5 The Zone. A Panzeca Preds update comes your way momentarily. Also, new Titans rookie. Well, there's many new Titans rookies, but third round pick. Well, there's two third round picks. New Titans defensive back, but there's also two of those. Elijah Moulton's going to be on the radio show coming up next. You're not going to want to miss it. He seems like he's having a great time with you guys as Titans fans on social media. We just found out. Well, we didn't just find out. I remember this because I think Teresa Walker tweeted it out after he got drafted on Friday. But Elijah Moulton's a cat guy.
Teresa Walker, also known cat person.
Yes. I can't remember the name of Teresa's cat.
Roscoe?
Roscoe. We got many Roscoe updates throughout the course of the pandemic. So we will bond with Elijah Moulton over our love collectively as a show because Lucas has a cat. I have two. And so now we will talk. I guess we'll ask Elijah Moulton about us if he's ever had a cat in heat. Because I just went through that experience. It was unpleasant. I'm sure he's going to get on here. We do these damn interviews so much different than I feel like everybody else does. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but I feel like these guys come on and they're ready to like talk football. And I'm like, hey, have you ever had a cat in heat before, bud?